You are now watching the Health and Wellness Connection, broadcasting live on AfroVibes TV, featuring your host, Dr. Berry. Hello, guys. I'm Dr. Berry Ruke, host of the Health and Wellness Connection TV show, broadcasting on AfroVibes TV. Thank you guys for joining us for another episode of the new year, guys. It's 2021, and it's going to be hopefully a beautiful, more prosperous, healthier year for everybody involved. I just want to start off by saying Happy New Year, Happy Holidays. Hope you had a great holiday season and enjoyed your family and friends. I'm sure most of y'all stayed home. However, even though travel doc Michelle, a lot of y'all did go somewhere, so hopefully you were safe. And overall, you know, you had a prosperous and merry holidays. So again, guys, back on the grind. It's Dr. Berry, your host here of the Health and Wellness Connection TV show. And of course, you know, we're going to jump right back into the health and wellness news. You know, a lot of people have stated that they are interested in ensuring that their health and wellness is a priority for 2021. So what better way to do that than to watch great shows like this one, the Health and Wellness TV show, designed to really give you that information you need to make sure you're doing your best to remain healthy despite all the chaos around us. So again, thanks for listening and watching, I should say, and just thanks for being a part of the AfroVibes TV family. So, of course, guys, the first episode of the new year, we are kind of remiss to kind of not talk about this, so we're going to go ahead and jump right in, and that is the ongoing coronavirus pandemic. Now, before you change the channel and get upset about the topic, here's the reality. It's getting pretty real out here, guys. A lot of people are getting sicker. A lot of numbers are getting higher as far as new infections and deaths throughout the globe. And it's really something that, unfortunately, even if you want to, you really can't avoid it. So you might as well learn from people who are actually doing, you know, a lot of the research, so you can stay abreast of all the new information and all the new data that are out there regarding the coronavirus. Yes, guys, of course, we're going back to the top five as we've been doing for the past few months. And here's the reality. USA is still number one. Now, this is more of an ignominious kind of title, if you will. I mean, most, I'm sure, Americans are not happy about being number one on this list. But the reality is that, you know, due to a lot of circumstances, a lot of factors, many people would argue poor leadership, we have risen to the top and have stayed there for many months now. Unfortunately, things have not changed for 2021. United States seeing some of the highest new cases, about 190 to 200 plus thousand new cases being diagnosed per day in the United States. This has been coupled with increased deaths as well, anywhere from 1,500 to 2,000 plus deaths. One day even saw a high of almost 4,000 plus deaths. So yes, the deaths are piling up. Now, the good news is that the overall death rate has dropped from this point last year. As you recall, last year when the virus was relatively new on the scene, the death rate was significantly higher. Many people believe the death rate is now falling due to improved treatment strategies, people being a little more cautious, overall, you know, pervasive mask usage, and other interventions that are helping kind of stem some of the spread. But again, this is the flu season, the cold season, now COVID season, if you will. So this is definitely going to be some of the worst times regarding the COVID infection pandemic. But the great news is that with the upcoming vaccine being kind of pushed out and now in full production, we will hopefully see one of the last years or last periods where the pandemic is so affecting our lives due to the reduced treatment strategy. So again, before we go into treatment, which we're going to talk about at length too on this show, so stay tuned for that. Got a lot of new promising treatment strategies and health and wellness things we can do to help reduce our risk. Let's talk about the numbers a little bit first. So again, USA, like we said, 200,000 plus cases a day being diagnosed, a little over 2,000 deaths. India is now number two on this top five list, about 16,000 new cases per day, 200 something plus deaths. Also, if you notice, they have also significantly lower death rate than they also were having as well. So that's great news for them. Brazil, number three on the list right now as far as the top five countries. 20,000 new cases per day, about 500 new deaths. So definitely quite a bit for the Brazilian nation. And like we said, they have been top five for a while now as well. So hopefully they'll kind of be able to, you know, implement some of these new treatment strategies to help reduce this pandemic's effect on their country. Russia, number four, 23,000 new cases per day, about 450 deaths as well. So around that same vein, and five is UK, about 40,000 new cases per day and about 400 plus deaths per day. So as you can see, you know, this virus is definitely, a big deal. It's taking over and affecting countries all over the continent, all over the globe, from the USA to India to, the Asian continents, even the South American and African continents, which people believe initially weren't as badly affected, are still also getting their own surges, including South Africa. Even Nigeria is noticing increased numbers as well. Now, of course, the numbers we're seeing in Africa aren't as large as the numbers we're seeing in the European nations. However, it's believed that there's definitely a concern that they are noting, and they are also in African countries, especially Kenya, Nigeria, and other nations, instituting new measures to help reduce some of the increased spikes they are seeing in their locales. So again, this pandemic is still ongoing, hasn't abated yet, and only with continued due diligence can we ensure that this thing will eventually become a minor issue for the people to deal with. So yes, let's keep focused, guys. Keep continuing with the different measures and making sure that we're doing all we can to ensure we are protecting ourselves and each other from potential infection. Now, yet another study has come out showing the immense benefit of face mask wearing in helping stem the spread of the COVID-19 infection. Now, there was a study that was actually put out. It was by the Institute of Health Metric and Evaluations based out of Seattle. Now, they looked at how masks kind of reduce the transmission of viruses, and they did this by kind of looking at different droplets and different sizes and really measuring what size droplets were typically most effective at being screened or being shielded by a simple cloth face mask. Now, the study here focused on particles that were larger than 170 microns in diameter, so it's about 2 to 4 times the width of a human hair, right? So anything, you know, about that size or bigger. It was noted that people who wore masks apparently had a 99% reduction in the transmission of said infections or said viruses. Aerosolized particles, which are smaller particles that kind of can follow the currents of the air. So when you sneeze and you see those little particles that float around, move around based on, you know, the breeze and so forth, those are much smaller, about 20 to 30 microns. Now, these 20 smaller microns are a lot harder to filter with the mask. But the thing is, those microns also are harder to potentially get onto another person if you're remaining socially distant. So while those smaller microns may potentially get through a cloth mask, the good news is that if you're far away from those individuals who may be sick, you can significantly reduce the amount of virus they can get from another individual to your person via your mask. Now, obviously, it won't completely protect you. This is the reason why staying distant is so important. Even if you've been vaccinated, it's so important to maintain these measures to help reduce your, you know, risk of getting infected by a new virus that may, you know, be in the air, if you will. But of course, you know, as we said before, a mask won't completely keep you immune from the virus. I know you guys have seen the memes that say, this mask, you know, is not enough to protect you, so you might as well wear no mask. That is nonsense. So please don't believe that, guys. Yes, a mask is not the end-all be-all, but a mask can be an excellent adjunct to other measures to help you not get sick. So it's not a kind of binary deal where either it works all the way 100% or it doesn't work at all. This is like a continuum. We have to use all the resources we have, bring them together, and that'll help us kind of keep this virus from becoming even more of a scourge. And mask usage, yet again, has shown to be extremely effective in helping reduce one's ability to become infected with the virus. The medical community is very sad these days due to the death of yet another physician, black physician, I should say, who was recently afflicted by the COVID-19 infection. Her name was Dr. Susan Moore. Based out of Indianapolis, she was recently hospitalized for COVID-19 that she contracted late last year. Now, Dr. Moore was an individual who was very educated. She had She was a fully practicing physician. She was out there treating patients, you know, essentially sacrificing herself to make sure others were better. In her, you know, work, she unfortunately became sick herself with the COVID-19 infection. And this is when her problems truly began. Apparently, what she documented on her social media, she repeatedly stated that she faced what appeared to be discriminatory practices by the hospital that was taking care of her. It was stated that, social media, how she felt she was being neglected, she wasn't being treated fairly, she stated she was not getting her pain issues properly addressed. And if you guys recall, there was a study we talked about a few months ago on the Health and Wellness TV show, where we discussed how research has shown that Black Americans are receiving less pain medications than other groups based on what is perceived to be biases held by medical practitioners. So go back a few episodes and check that out if you're unclear, or check out our website, www.facebook.com/nextlevelweightloss. You'll see links to all the studies we quote here, so you can research for yourself and see kind of what we're referencing. But Dr. Susan Moore, I should say, was complaining constantly about not getting enough pain control to help with her issues. She also stated that she was not being offered some treatments that were shown to have very effective results when used in patients with COVID-19. Particularly, one treatment known as synthetic monoclonal antibodies. Now, on a previous show, look at the archives, guys. Check out the archives, by the way, on the podcast. Again, check it out at... And so if you want to check out the archives, by the way, www.anchor.fm/HW Connection. All right, so again, as we stated, the archives, we do have episodes where we've talked about some of these monoclonal antibodies and how they worked. If you recall also, this is what President Trump received then when he was sick as well. So the monoclonal antibodies are still currently undergoing research. They haven't been fully released to the public. However, data looks very promising that we're seeing so far. I've been luckily able to see some of these studies in my own local facility that I work at, and the numbers are looking very great. So again, that's another thing we're going to discuss briefly on this episode, but we'll talk about it in a little more detail as well in future episodes. But yes, Dr. Susan Moore, I even brought it up, because she actually was complaining that she never even received access to this medication as she progressed and got worse. And her as a physician, it made it even more frustrating that she was aware of what was out there, but for some reason was not able to receive it. Due to some of these issues and her own medical problems, she eventually succumbed to the COVID-19 infection and was pronounced deceased late last year. Now, unfortunately, this has led to, another episode of someone who appeared to have received inadequate care, resulting in them passing away. This is something that, many groups, advocacy groups, especially those concerned about the great disparities being seen in Black and brown communities when dealing with COVID-19, has showed some of the racial disparities as far as survival rates being seen with this illness. One analysis performed by the Washington Post, it appears that Black Americans were 37% more likely to die from COVID-19 as opposed to their white counterparts. Now, this also was important because in this study, they controlled for age, sex, mortality rates, and other factors. Asians in the same analysis were found to be 53% more likely to die than their white counterparts. Now, Hispanic Americans were about 16% more likely to die, and Native Americans were also 26% more likely to pass from this infection. Just further illustrating that there are still significant racial disparities in the American healthcare system, and unfortunately, this is causing more minorities to pass away from this infection. Hopefully, as more of these, these inadequacies, if you will, are exposed, more will be done to help fix them so that future generations and future, citizens can enjoy equal treatment, equal survival rates, and overall equal care when it comes to any infection, but especially for things like this, the COVID-19 scourge. Vitamin D is getting a lot of attention lately because it's found that vitamin D may be one of those essential vitamins that may be critical in helping reducing some of those severe complications we're seeing with COVID-19 infections. Many recent studies and different observational retroactive studies where they look at data from previously treated patients and whatnot have shown that severe vitamin D deficiencies can have very, very disastrous effects when it comes to COVID-19 infections. Now, before we get into detail on the study, let's talk about vitamin D itself, because it's one of the vitamins that we always talk about. Really, all the vitamins are important, but people understand, take your vitamins, take your vitamins, take your vitamins, but may not really understand why vitamins are critical and why they're important. Now, vitamin D is extremely important. It's generally, you know, responsible for a lot of different maintenance of various functions throughout the body, particularly bone health, and bone maintenance is one of the biggest functions. You can't, actually cannot absorb calcium in your system unless your vitamin D levels are adequate. Now, also, vitamin D is important for immunity and maintenance of the integrity of your immune system. It also helps with reducing inflammation. It's also very important as far as maintaining your nervous system health. So, you know, these are all critical, you know, functions of the human body. Vitamin D levels aren't adequate, it can result in these systems being potentially defective. So you want to make sure your vitamin D levels are where they need to be. Now, vitamin D, how do we get it? Well, vitamin D is one of those vitamins that your body can make naturally. Again, this is assuming your nutrition is up to par and everything else, but your vitamin D is naturally typically formed when you go into the sunlight. Sunlight can stimulate the body's skin cells and so forth to actually release and create vitamin D into the bloodstream. This vitamin D is then activated by your kidneys and so forth and other organs that enable it to be functional in your body. Now, vitamin D is something that typically if you're eating right, like eating proper, you know, oily fish like salmon or halibut or mackerel, it's in egg yolks, red meat, you know, things like that is typically where vitamin D is more prevalent. Vitamin D is also something that if you're especially a vegan or a vegetarian, you may want to consider taking a supplement. Vitamin D is recommended to take about 10 microns per day, or 400 international units per day. So you want to take, though, again, 10 micrograms per day. That's the recommended amount for someone who's definitely deficient or not getting enough sunlight. Really, you just need about a few minutes every few, about three, four times a week in the sun during the summer months to get enough vitamin D synthesized by your body to last you throughout the year. So it's not a whole lot of sunlight required. However, a lot of people are still deficient. And we know now that with vitamin D deficiency, there may be an increased risk for COVID-19 complications, another really inflammatory issue. We know vitamin D, by the way, deficiencies can lead to increased risk of certain cancers, increased risk of cardio-inflammatory disease or coronary artery disease, and it just basically increases your inflammation levels. This is kind of what was looked at one of these studies that was done recently. So one study recently published in Nature magazine showed that vitamin D deficiency, again, may be responsible for some of the severe complications seen in those who get the COVID-19 infection. In one study, they looked at patients who were both symptomatic and, who were asymptomatic, meaning they were fine, but they tested positive. Another group of patients who were in the critical care unit with a severe complication of the COVID-19 infection. They tested the vitamin D levels of the two groups. And it was found that those who were sicker, who died faster, who were more critical, especially those in ICU, were significantly more vitamin D deficient than those who were relatively, or who improved, or weren't as sick. Almost 20% of those patients who were critically ill were also subsequently found to be vitamin D deficient. And those who did well were found to actually have adequate levels of vitamin D. So this is one study. This actually was done out of India. There's many different studies from Europe, China, and so forth have also illustrated some of the benefits of replacing vitamin D in patients who had COVID-19 and some of the potential protective benefits of vitamin D in helping reducing the risk of full or severe complications seen in COVID-19 infections. So again, now the official recommendation from various health and regulatory bodies is stating that there's not enough evidence, and that's something that we have to continue to look at. We're going to continue to be following this closely to see whether or not some of these recommendations may change. However, it's still recommended that if you are someone who especially lives in a climate where the sunlight is not prevalent If you're in an area where, again, you don't have a lot of sun, chances are, if you're not supplementing or eating a proper diet, you very well may be vitamin D deficient. So consider taking at least a multivitamin, or if you want to be more focused, taking a vitamin D supplement. Again, 10 micrograms is typically recommended per day. But again, ultimately, you should see your clinician, see your doctor, see your primary care health provider. Make sure they look at you, do a full comprehensive workup, check your levels, and make sure everything is where it needs to be. Because again, if you're not educated on your own health, you know, it's going to be much harder for you to maintain a proper health and, you know, help, you know, reduce your risk of infection. So guys, vitamin D may potentially be a beneficial supplement, specifically in the area of COVID-19. So guys, keep up with that. Check our website as well at www.facebook.com/nextlevelweightloss. We'll give you links to all these different articles. You can check it out as well. And, you know, decide, you know, what you think the data shows. Yeah, so last but not least, let's talk a little bit more about people's motivation for the new year. And hopefully it can keep us on track so that we can make sure we continue, you know, motivating ourselves, motivating each other for, you know, maintaining our health goals for the upcoming year. According to Statista.com, which is a popular website where many people are monitored, they do a lot of stats and surveys, America is focused on losing weight and being healthy. And I'm sure this is for Mama Global listeners and watchers. I'm sure this is also pertains to you guys as well. So again, you know, we'll make sure we hit some of those in future episodes. But for the most part, top five resolutions for most Americans right now include exercising more. 44% of survey respondents say that was their top respondent. So we are going to do more, you know, exercise focused shows as well, letting people know ways to stay fit, be active. Make it fun. That's my recommendation. Make the workout fun. Number two, eating healthier. Like I said, people are trying to eat better foods, getting those nutrient-dense diets where they need to be. They're going to do that, and people are going to be more focused on that. So, guys, if you're a chef or you're someone who likes to cook, consider maybe getting a healthy food service going. People are going to be interested in it, guys, so keep that in mind. You know, if you're looking for health and nutrition tips, we're going to discuss some of those here as well. A lot of also other great sources you can check out as well. So again, eating healthier is a big deal. Let's make sure we make that a universal proclamation, if you will. All right, guys, so eating healthy. Also, people are going to look to spend more family time and time with friends. Now, in the age of the coronavirus, with everyone being at home and not being able to socialize, one thing that's believed that once these gates are opened up and people can hang out with each other again, once everyone's been, you know, vaccinated or protected or somehow, it's going to be another great time to have events, to have, you know, get-togethers. That will probably be on the agenda for many folks all across the globe. So be prepared for that. People also trying to lose weight. 31% of respondents to this survey stated that they were looking to lose weight. And of course, that's our main focus here at the Health and Wellness Connection, losing weight, getting fit, getting healthy. You know what I'm saying? We're going to make sure we give you all the tips here you need to help you get on that journey and do what you need to do to achieve those goals. So stay tuned for that for 2021. And overall, people are looking to live more economically, meaning they're trying to budget, save money, not be so spendy, you know. So, you know, I think it's going to be a lot less, you know, garish spending, if you will, for 2021. People are going to be focused. People are going to be trying to keep their budgets tightened. So let's hope that continues, guys. I'm going to do my part to help educate and tell people what they need to do. Now, ultimately, you know, I am only here on the show. I encourage everybody who's really looking to make a serious commitment to their health to get a primary care doctor, make that appointment, and start ensuring that someone is helping you make the right decisions, dietary as well as physical, as well as everything, to ensure that you're doing the best you can to give yourself the best shot you can. And stay tuned, guys. We're going to be offering some of those services here by yours truly. Announcement coming very soon. But for today, we're going to end. The show is over. Thank you guys for checking out the Health and Wellness Connection TV show. Check us out, of course, on all the various platforms. Instagram, Dr. Barry MD, is where you can find me. Also, like we said previously, the website where all the articles and other interesting discussions are taking place, www.facebook.com/nextlevelweightloss, all one word. Also, guys, check me out on email. If you have any questions, email the show, Dr. Barry Health. That's DrBarryHealth @gmail.com. Again, guys, it's Dr. Barry signing out for another episode of the Health and Wellness Connection TV show. Peace.